Turn with me, if you will, this evening to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. I want to encourage us at the start of a new year in 2024. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and make this little message this evening, one just to encourage us at the start of this year, memorable, because it's all going to come out of Numbers 14, one verse. And I'm making it really easy for us, 24, right? Verse 24. So Numbers 14, verse 24. This is the first Sunday of 2024. It would have been made better if it had been 2024. But in actual fact, if that was Numbers, then we'd be looking at the death of Aaron and Aaron not getting into the Promised Land or not getting allowed to enter into, at that time. I'm convinced they got here, but at the end of the day, he didn't get to lead the people in. So Numbers 14, and we're going to read from verse 20 through to 25, and the focus is going to be just in one verse for a little while this evening, which is Numbers 14 and verse 24. And here we are, first Sunday of 2024. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly, as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times, and have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers, and none of those who despised me shall see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Now, since the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valleys, turn tomorrow and set out for the wilderness by the way to the Red Sea. Amen. And we pray that God would speak to us as we look into his word. So verse 24 of Numbers 14, just a single text to encourage us just at the start of this year. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land into which you went, and his descendants shall possess it. Caleb, one of those fascinating, almost side characters in Holy Scripture, but who in the economy of God, in the plan and purpose of God, is proven and shown to be so faithful. So faithful in his life and in his ministry and in all that God asked him to do. The context of Numbers 14, it flows out of Numbers 13 when Moses had sent 12 spies into the land to see what the land was like. And in verse 25 of chapter 13, it says, at the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregations and showed them the fruit of the land. And they said, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And everything's looking bleak. For in verse 30, it says, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to to overcome it. But of course, if you're familiar with the story, you'll know that the people listened to the voice of those who do not believe that by the power of God and under the authority of God and in obedience to God, they can enter in to all the promises of God and the land that he had set apart for them. And so by the time you get to Numbers 14, God is ready to wipe the people out. And Moses is interceding on their behalf. And God listens to the prayer of Moses. And we get to this little section here where it says, I have pardoned them according to your word. But as truly as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who saw that are going to enter in. And then he speaks of Caleb, and he says, but my servant Caleb. And if you know much of Caleb, you'll know that in actual fact, this word was spoken about him. In actual fact, this word was to be fulfilled because it's the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is always fulfilled. And when you get to Joshua chapter 14, you'll find Caleb, in actual fact, entering in to all the plan and purpose and promise of God. And 45 years pass, but he enters in to all that God has for him. But let's think for a moment or two this evening, just a few little encouragements. It's a very simple message, but it's a message for us at the start of 2024. But my servant Caleb. Look at the tender word of affection that God uses for Caleb. My servant. My servant. As you and I look ahead into 2024 and all that it might entail, and all the opportunities and all the potential and all that might be realized in this year, will God's word about us be my servant, David? My servant, John. My servant, Elaine. My servant, Bethany. Well, God, in actual fact, will that be the words he uses to describe us? We know the importance from our Lord Jesus Christ of what it is to live life with a servant heart. We know when we trace the work of God in Christ in people's lives that what ought to characterize them more than anything else is that everything they do in a servant-hearted way. When we talk about the very best form of leadership in our society, the best type of leadership is servant leadership. And Caleb, who was an incredible leader alongside Joshua, because Joshua and Caleb, of course, are the two out of those spies that went and seen the land to, in actual fact, enter into it. But when we see these leaders in God's word, we realize that they're characterized by a servant heart. That what they do is all about, first and foremost, serving God and honoring and glorifying him. And the way in which they serve God by honoring and glorifying him is also in their service of the people. And in actual fact, Caleb was serving the people when he was saying, we can't enter into all the promises of God because our God is able to lead us into all these things. And when our Lord Jesus Christ was asked by the disciples, what it is to truly be great in the kingdom of heaven, in actual fact, what he did was he taught them about servant leadership. So when you turn to Mark chapter 10, and you get the request of James and John, it says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come up to him and said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. They want the positions. They want the prominence. They want to be close to the one that matters, but they want to be recognized as the ones who are close to the one that matters. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism that which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Incredible that when Jesus wants to teach us what it is to live life according to the commands of God, according to the word of God, according to the revealed purpose of God, what he does is he says to us, what I want you to do is be a servant. What I want you to do is to be a slave. What I want you to do is to be the one who is willing to lay down your own life, your own interests, your own preeminence, your own prominence, your own desire for position and status and to be someone. In actual fact, like the Lord Jesus Christ, to lay aside all the honor, all the glory, and to be a servant of all. My servant Caleb. You know, sometimes when it comes to the funeral service eulogy of one who's walked with God, we often talk about, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your reward. Well, it was God who said, my servant Caleb. And the only pronouncement that really matters is whether it's God who says, this is one who serves me with the servant heart of Christ. This is one who in serving me is a servant of others with the servant heart of Christ. And so as we enter into 2024 and all the various opportunities and all the different things it might bring, I just sense that first and foremost there's this call to be a servant. To ride it across every aspect of our life. To ride it across our relationships, all of our relationships, whether that's friendships or whether that's sibling relationships or whether that's marital relationships, whether that's, maternal or paternal relationships, to ride it across at servant. To ride it across the relationships in the life of the church, what it is to genuinely serve one another in a way that honors God. In a way that magnifies him, my servant Caleb. What I love is it gives us a little insight into what the servant looks like. And so we get the second, just four little things this evening. The second little thing I want us to notice in verse 24 is because he has a different spirit. Because he has a different spirit. My servant Caleb. Why should the people of God stand out in the dark world? Why should the people of God stand out in a sinful world? Why should the people of God stand out in a world that has lost its way, in a world that is far from God? Because they are a people, because God declares it, who live life according to, in the power of, by a different spirit. You see, the promise of God is that after Christ had won that eternal victory in Calvary's cross and ascended into heaven, he would pour out his Spirit upon the church. And we know that's exactly what happened. And the teaching of the Scripture says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, and unto the ends of the earth. So what is it that radically turns the world upside down? What is it that causes the Church of Jesus Christ to keep growing and expanding and magnifying year after year after year, ever since the day of Pentecost? It is because God has poured out his Holy Spirit into the hearts of those who are surrendered to Jesus. And they live by a different spirit. They live life differently. Now, you and I know that the Holy Spirit of God is first and foremost working in us to make us ever increasingly into the likeness of Christ. And so the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We know that God is working by his Spirit in our life in order to bring that about. My servant Caleb, with a different spirit. But the interesting thing is that when you look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the early church, you'll find that whenever there is reference to the Holy Spirit, he is always given in order that people might speak about the glories of God, in order that people might speak about the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you find that in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the church, the natural fact people hear of the good news of God, the mercies of God, in their own tongue. People speaking forth the good news of Jesus Christ. When you move into, later on, in Peter's message, he refers to Joel, and he talks about how God is going to put his Spirit on all people, and they are going to prophesy. They are going to speak of the wonders of God, the greatness of God, the good news of God. When Caleb was talking about the promised land and all the riches it contained and how it was possible to enter in, his eyes were not in who he was, his eyes were in who God is. And he was speaking about the glory of God. And he was speaking about the majesty of God. And he was speaking about the greatness of God. And the reality is, we are people who are filled by a different spirit. We are filled by the Holy Spirit of God who indwells all those who by repentance and faith put their trust in him. God dwells within us by his Spirit. We are a people of a different spirit. Sometimes when we say, I cannot live that way, in actual fact, we're in denial of the power of the Spirit at work in us. Sometimes people say, I can only aspire to these things. I know what we mean. There's a humility about that. I only aspire to these things. But the reality is, the work of the Spirit of God is to make these things real in us, that we might live differently, that we might speak differently for the glory of God. When you follow Acts all the way through, you'll find in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, when they said they're no longer to speak, God fills them with the Spirit in order that they with great boldness would speak the word of God. When you jump forward to Acts chapter 6, and you find the setting apart of the deacons, they're men of the Spirit. And what you find is that Stephen, one of the men of the Spirit, immediately starts speaking the good news of Jesus Christ and becomes the first martyr, because whenever the Spirit of God fills a person, then that person speaks of the glory of God and the majesty of God and the good news of God. When you get to Acts chapter 8, you find that Philip, the great evangelist, is called out to go and meet the Ethiopian eunuch. I want you to notice that the Ethiopian eunuch does not understand the word of God in his first reading. What he needs is a person full of the Spirit to make clear what the word of God says. And so here's Caleb. Here's Caleb, my servant, who's got a different spirit. As we go into 2024, we need just to realize that in actual fact, God has not only done all things for us on Calvary's cross, but in actual fact, he's poured the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, God himself dwelling within us to make us distinctive. When we talk about living distinctively for the glory of God, it's not in our strength. It's not in our wisdom. It's not in our ability. It's as God works through us to magnify his name and to do these things. I just want to encourage us at the start of 2024 that, you know, be a servant of God and allow the Spirit of God to make us a people who live differently. You know, I've said it before in teaching the Holy Spirit that the Bible is actually very, you know, clear about it, quite simple about it. It says we can either quench the Spirit of God, we can resist the Spirit of God, we can grieve the Spirit of God, or we can be filled with the Spirit of God. All three of them are negative, right? We can resist the Spirit of God, we can quench the Spirit of God, we can grieve the Spirit of God, or we can be filled by the Spirit of God. My servant, who's living by a different spirit. And it's interesting, whenever you see the prompting of the Spirit of God, Philip was living by a different spirit. That's why he was noticed and called into the leadership position he was given. But then the Spirit of God prompted him to go and to speak to the Ethiopian eunuch. And again, the Spirit of God is given that we might speak. That we might speak the wonders of God. That we might speak for the glory of God. That we might declare the good news of God. Back to Acts 1 verse 8, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, there's a second thing. Here's the third thing. And has followed me fully. And has followed me fully. Now, the third aspect of Caleb's life, and remember, this is God's word about Caleb, has followed me fully. That little word there conjures up wholeheartedly, devotedly. There is nothing, there is no one, absolutely nothing is before what it is to be in the will of God and to be obedient to the word of God. Nothing. And I don't know about you, but every time I read that and see that in the pages of Scripture, because it's not only said of Caleb, I'm always staggered. It's interesting, those who wanted to follow Jesus and then Jesus tenderly, yet really just sort of challenging the level of their devotion, turned around and says things like, you know, why don't you go back and bury your father first, because you're not ready for this. Says to the rich young man, you know, you really want to have eternal life, then give away all you've got, sell up, and just come follow me. Because he knows what's got his heart. There's a real sense in which, you know, sometimes we, everything in us wants to follow God fully, but we'd quite like to follow God in our terms. You know, we'd quite like to have God as long as God's okay with doing it our way rather than his way. In actual fact, we'll look at some of the scriptures that kind of, you know, are extremely challenging about, you know, the kind of comfort zones that we're in. And comfort zones, by their very definition, are just places that we like to be in. And we know that the scriptures, in actual fact, can really blow a hole in that and say, no, I want you to leave that. And I want you to go and do this. So it was amazing to me that Philip and the evangelist, I mean, Philip was in the midst of, you know, what can be described as a little mini revival when God said, right, Philip, up out of there, Ethiopian eunuch, backside of the desert. Follow me fully. Follow me first and foremost. I think sometimes at the start of a year, we can be sort of up for the challenge of saying, this is the year. If God says it, I'll do it. It's a dangerous prayer, isn't it? If God says it, I'll do it. If God's clear about it, I'll do it. And yet his testimony about Caleb is that he was a man who was a servant, he was a man who was of a different spirit, and he was a man who followed me fully. And right at the start of a year, it's good to think about what that might look like for us. Doesn't always mean change. Might actually be a real affirmation of where you are. Might actually be a real affirmation of the place you're in and the things you're doing and the ministries you're giving yourself to and serving. But it can come with a fresh call to a deeper commitment, to a different ministry, to a fresh challenge, to whatever it might be. But Caleb followed God. And I think the key there, we can emphasize the fully, but I think the key there is in the following. In actual fact, I think it's one of the reasons why our Lord Jesus Christ, when he would describe those who were going to be entering into his kingdom, he said to them, follow me. Follow me. Jesus didn't say, decide about me. He said, follow me. Walk with me. Become the man or the woman that I'm calling you to be. Be my disciple. Follow me. The disciples started to follow. They had no idea, really, all that Jesus was going to ask them to do. And they had no idea that in actual fact, they learned this as they followed. They had no idea that for many of them, they were actually going to lay down their lives in following Jesus faithfully. What does it look like to follow Jesus fully? I think sometimes we don't do that because in actual fact, we don't put him in the first place. It's not that we don't necessarily listen to his word, but sometimes we don't listen to his word first and foremost. We get there eventually, rather than him being the priority. Sometimes we don't hear clearly what he wants us to do because in actual fact, we never sit still long enough to actually hear what he might say. My servant Caleb, different spirit, followed me fully. Wouldn't it be great if God said this about us? If God's, proclamation at the end of our days was, my servant John, because he's got a different spirit, has followed me fully. But see, here's the thing. For Caleb, here's the descriptor of him, but then what it says is this. I will bring Caleb into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. That was the promise of God to Caleb. He said, I'm going to bring you into that promised land. You've been there. You've buckled under the weight of the grapes. And you've come back and you've told the people, it's a land full of milk and honey. The reward of God is abundant to those who follow him faithfully. And God says, and I'm going to bring Caleb into the land in which he has went. And not only that, I'm not going to bless Caleb alone. I'm going to bring his descendants into the land. Linda and I were reflecting the other day on that little prayer for those who follow after, that they might know, that they might love, that they might follow Jesus, that they might inherit the rewards. It's interesting, in our ministries, sometimes we kind of look at the work that we do, the ministries that we do, the way in which we serve in our community. And, sometimes we kind of, we talk about the spiritual and the physical. And sometimes we try to work out, what's the important thing to serve into here, the spiritual or the physical? I actually don't think they're the best terms to think about. I think the best terms to think about and the terms that really matter and the terms that are really important are the terms eternal and temporal. And I think sometimes what we do is we serve into physical needs in the hope that somebody might see a spiritual light. But in actual fact, what we need to understand is that this word is an eternal word, and human beings are an eternal people. And their greatest need is to know the God of all eternity. And it's far more significant than the temporal things that so often take up our time and our talent and our wealth. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land in which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. It's my greatest prayer. I might enter into all the eternal realities of God. And my greatest prayer that my descendants might enter in to the eternal realities of God. And there's nothing more important, nothing more important. And yet sometimes we get that flipped, don't we? Amazing, even sometimes when people look at a will and they think about, you know, how much did they leave? Well, of course, we know that they left everything, right? But the real measure of what they leave is not the wealth and the houses and the zeros and the bank balance. The real measure of what we leave is whether, in actual fact, we've been able to minister the goodness of God, the glory of God, the message of God, the salvation of God, that those who follow us might enter into all the promises of God, all the blessing of God. And it was my privilege to represent us as a church at Jim Bell's funeral. And the one thing that struck me about it was just the rich heritage of faith. Of every one of his grandchildren could say a little something because of the eternal reality that he is more alive now than he ever was. That eternal reality. And Caleb entered into the land into which he went, and his descendants with him. And you can read about that in Joshua 14. I can't touch on that tonight. However, one little verse right at the start of a year. Numbers 14, verse 24. The year is 2024. The verse is verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he is a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it, to live with such a great and glorious view of God and his salvation, that we might follow him fully in the power of the Spirit that he provides, with a servant heart, and that not only we, but that our descendants may enter into all the eternal reality and promise of God. That's what I wanted to encourage us with right at the start of 2024. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's living. We thank you that the eternal realities that you describe for us, that you reveal to us, are life transforming. Eternal life transforming. And Father, it is our heart's desire that your conclusion, that your summary, that your description of our lives might be something like Caleb's, that we would be known as your servants, that we would be filled by your Spirit, that by your Spirit we would make much of Jesus, we would make you known, that we would follow you completely, so that in the end, we would enter in to all the abundant blessings you have for us, not just for a moment, but for all eternity. And Father, it's our heart's desire that you would grant to us many children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren who would walk in your ways and magnify your name and enter into all the promises of God. Father, would you speak to us? Would you take your word and apply it to our hearts and lives? We thank you, Lord, that the context was those who wanted to glorify you. Father, we thank you that you will always be glorified. And we pray that you will be glorified in us. In Jesus' name, amen.